Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Father, we pray that you would give us understanding of your word. Father, deep within our hearts, and Father, resonating within our lives, that Father, we would live out this truth. Help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So last week we began looking at this passage, a passage that I think is just one of the foundational passages that we should all know very well. I'd encourage you to put it to memory, even if it's just the first two verses of this. It's not that much to memorize, but would do us so much good in our lives. This is a passage that's foundational to something that I think we often treat as doctrine. Which doctrine is good. Please do not hear me wrong. It is absolutely essential. We need doctrinal statements. We need doctrinal statements to clarify things that folks may get wrong, that we may be inclined to veer away from. And so there are times that we need doctrinal statements. The challenge is there are times when our doctrinal statements become either, first of all, so well familiar that the meaning, that the depth of meaning that the scriptures put into them, we just kind of like, oh, but I knew that on the surface. I got it. We're good. Or we just think, okay, well, I haven't rejected this doctrinal statement. I'm going to move on. You know, no, there is something to these things that often find themselves as important enough to arrive at the point of being placed as doctrine, that we must not say, I've got it down, let's move on. These are things that are so important. They're worthy of all of our lives worth of study. Romans chapter 5 addresses one of these things. You'll be familiar with this as soon as I say it. The doctrine of justification by faith. That's really important. Better be in our church's doctrinal statement. Our statement of faith. If you disagree with it, there are issues. But dear friends, we don't just dust off that church statement and say, is it in it? Yeah, it's there. Justification by faith. Let's move on. Romans chapter 5 talks about, and you see it there in the very words, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, and guess what? It goes on. It goes where many of our doctrinal statements and our church statements of faith don't go on to go. And it tells us something, dear friends, wonderful. There are implications for us about being justified by faith. And they're all wonderful, by the way. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith. And here's the other thing that even with this text of Scripture, we have to be a little bit careful with it. We don't just read that, okay, well, it was in the past. I mean, if you have believed, when you came to faith, when you were born again by the Spirit of God and by God's sovereign grace bringing you to repent of your sins and to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who gave his life upon the cross to be the atoning work, the propitiation for our sins, and that he rose again the third day, that he is enthroned in heaven, that he rules and reigns as the Lord of lords and the King of kings, and that he is returning to judge the quick and the dead. It's all wonderful, wonderful stuff. You were saved by believing that. And not by the works of the law, not by the works of righteousness that you have done, but by God's grace. It's all wonderful, wonderful stuff. But it continues to impact you. We looked at the first way that chapter 5 talks about this blessing last week. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God. That is a blessing of the gospel. If you have not sought God's blessings by your own works, but you have realized your works are like filthy rags, and you have repented of your sin and even of your self-vindicating works that you thought were so good before, and you've placed your trust in Christ, you have now peace. Peace with God. We're going to carry on today in this passage and see what else it says that we have. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, verse 2 continues. So again, this is bearing down upon he himself. We'll get to that probably by the end of the sermon this morning. Through him, we have also obtained. So just like verse 1 said, we have now in our lives that we're going through at this very moment in this present tense. But I mean, not just a grammatical statement. It's present tense. You've got it now. Think about this. You have peace. All right? When you experience that, you don't care about, well, did I have it in the past? Is it going to be in the present? Is it in the future? No, you know what it means to have the blessing of peace with God. And if you don't know that blessing, look to the gospel. But for those of you who have been born again by God's grace, you've been justified by faith alone in Christ alone, to the glory of God alone. The blessings of knowing you have peace through Jesus Christ are amazing. And you also have something else. And this one may be a little bit more of a study for us today. Even though last week, we did a study. It was great. You study what peace means. But you kind of know what peace is as a believer. It's a blessed thing that most of us is part of our very conversion story about how God would not let us have peace before we repented of all of these things. We came to him. And then there's just this immediacy to it. This peace between us and God, and therefore between us and other saints, other believers in the gospel. The next thing, through him we also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. That's kind of a mouthful. There's a lot of prepositions there, kind of defining just what this is. It's not just, we have peace. Whew. All right, let's study it. We also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand and we rejoice. There's at least three prepositional phrases there. Really not even just a word itself. Like we saw peace before, now we get all of these prepositional phrases into this thing that we've somehow obtained. Let's think about this morning. Through Jesus Christ, we have obtained access. And I'll just start here. We have obtained access to something wonderful. Okay? Now you may be thinking, you're going to have to sell me on that, Steve. Okay, maybe you're not thinking it that way, but I'm going to try to do so. I want you to know this. I want to prove this point. I don't want this to be out there. And by the end of the sermon, you think, you said it was something wonderful. But believe me, it is something wonderful that we have obtained in this access to. Through gospel faith. And again, notice that. Verse 1 said we've been justified by faith. Verse 2 is not done with faith. And that is an incredibly important part of our discussion this morning. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith. This is not obtained differently than the peace that verse 1 told us about. You may think, it's pretty simple. It says it. Yeah, then why do we have such a problem in Christianity to believe it? Why is it in our lives we don't quite feel that we're on the right standing before God? Why is it that we fall back into works? Why is it that we fall back into things that have never even been mentioned in the scriptures as being effective with God, and yet we try them? Lord, I'll clean myself up. Lord, I won't do this anymore. Just please help me here. Why is it one of the greatest trials to the doctrine of justification by faith is medical conditions? When you're awaiting those results from your doctor, do you know how much the doctrine of justification by faith is just destroyed practically in your life? When you start, oh, okay, Lord, this is a trial. You're trying to work me there. And okay, if I get right in this way, I'll stop doing this, I'll start doing this, I'll do this more, I'll do this less. We start making those, it's called foxhole religion. Going back to wartime, when people were in the foxhole and they were hearing the bullets whiz by them and they made those deals with the Lord, I know I haven't been right, but if you get me out of this, I'll... It's not taught in the scriptures. Okay? There is not a 3 Corinthians that says, here's how to wheel and deal with the Lord. We've got right here everything we need. And we need to be squarely focused upon that. Through gospel faith, we have obtained access into this grace in which we stand. The point well made in verse 1 is driven home even deeper in verse 2, and it counters something grave. Please note, I've already said this, but this is the way I've got it in my notes, so hopefully it's even more clear than my rambling. This passage teaches clearly against those who think we are simply imputed righteousness by faith, but then we must stay within the realm of God's grace and in the realm of God's blessing by something other than faith. This passage clearly teaches against that. Our relationship to God, our peace with God, is not maintained by our works. Hear that well. Our peace with God, our relationship to God, is not maintained by our works. Now in your mind, you're doing exactly what all of us do. And if we went on to the next chapter of Romans, you'd see God go ahead and answer the question your mind is thinking, which is, so do we just now worry about works then? In other words, your mind is going to make the wrong conclusions to what was just said. Why is that? I can't say this dogmatically. I'm going to take a stab here. It's because we have a hard time understanding how blessed we are. You cannot comprehend what our Lord has done for you. It's better than you think it is. This peace that you have is deeper than you've given it credit for. This grace in which you stand, you've never even understood the words in which I stand before, I dare say. Okay, maybe you have. But I hope as we go through this, you're reminded, ooh, I needed to hear that again. Our standing, and we're going to discuss that word in a minute, And I've probably already kind of tipped my hand to you to show you where I'm going with this. This grace in which we stand is not based upon our works, our performance, our perfection, or even our desires. Okay, a lot of us many times are like, okay, I know God gets that I'm not perfect all the time, but surely he cares that I don't want to all the time. And just to answer that, yes, he cares, repent, believe. But that is not what is impacting your peace and this access to God's grace in which you stand and the joy that we'll get to next week. The hymn that I quoted last week, not what my hands have done can save my guilty soul. Not what my toiling flesh has borne can make my spirit whole. Not what I feel or do can give me peace with God. Not all my prayers and sighs and tears can bear my awful load. Then what can? Jesus. And his work upon the cross. That's what. Please take a moment and look clearly at verse 2 and see this for yourself. Through him, we have also obtained, not we might one day, not at times experience. Look at what the text says. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Pretty clear, isn't it? We're not only justified by faith, we stand in grace today by faith. That needs to find itself in more doctrinal statements. It gets forgotten. It turns into this, and forgive me, it's just the way I process things because it's the life I live. Turns this into, in my experience, the sort of fundamentalism, which is, hey, go to the door, knock on the door, tell somebody the Romans road, get them to admit they're sinner and bow their heads while you say a prayer that you ask them to repeat in their mind, and then you say they're saved, they're going to be in heaven, I'll see you there someday, and you go to the next house. Because you've given them their ticket into heaven. Forget the fact you don't know if they believe in their heart that Jesus is Lord. You just heard them say it with their mouth, but that's for another sermon some other time. Gospel faith is not just a ticket into heaven. We are justified by faith, and dear friends, as a believer here today, you have access by that very same faith into a grace in which you may stand. You do stand today. Well, let me ask you, this is the most important question I can. Do you have this faith? If you do, this is true of you. And hopefully, if you're looking today saying, I'd love this peace. I'd love to stand in this grace, but I don't. Then I'm holding forth to you Christ Jesus and what our Lord did upon the cross. Believe. That seems too simple. I know. Believe. But I've done terrible things before. You don't know how wicked my heart is. No, I do. I know. Believe. Turn to 2 Thessalonians before we come back. We talk about the standing. But in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, just another one of these passages that is so very, very clear, wonderfully clear. And when you find passages that are so wonderfully clear, it's a really good thing to think, boy, if I memorize this, would my life be a lot more clear? And do it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I'm going to begin in verse 13. I'm going to read through 17. There's a lot here. Some of it I'm not really going to touch on or teach on, but I just want you to see this. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. But we ought always to give thanks to God for you. Brothers, beloved by the Lord. Because God chose you as the first fruits to be saved. Through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. I'm going to keep reading in a moment, but just look at what we've seen there so far. This is how you know if you are beloved by the Lord. I'm going to tell you, this is so much more than a bumper sticker that says God loves you, okay? This is God's word to every believer. Those who, as this passage says, have believed the truth. Dear friends, if that is you, God has shown his love to you. You are beloved by God. You are. Again, this is not just something to try and brighten your day a little bit. This is something to change your life. You are loved by God. Let me just tell you these three words in every bit of truth, dear believer. God loves you. You have proof. God chose you to be saved, it says. Some people can get caught up, and I've done so too myself. Well, how do I know if I'm chosen? If this doctrine is true, how do I know? It's just up to God. You know because you believe. You couldn't believe apart from that. Verse 14. To this, he called you through our gospel. Oh. Think about that, dear friends. Gospel message wasn't somebody just telling you the gospel, trying to see if you'd bite on it. Dear believer, the Lord was calling you through the gospel. To this he called you through our gospel, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. That'll bake your noodle. So I'll give you some time to think about that. We won't figure that one out today. That you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in all seriousness, you may want to study that out. Like, what does that mean? And do I really believe that? 15. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by our spoken word or by our letter. Now, may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through what? Grace. That which Romans 5 says, through faith, you have obtained your access into this grace, undeserved favor. I love that aspect of it. I know many of you do too, and we often quote it that way and or define it that way, and it is absolutely true. I want you to realize this. This factors into Romans 5 perfectly. This wonderful thing in which you stand is something you don't deserve. Come to grips with that. Okay? This wonderful thing in which you stand is something you do not deserve. And verse 16 of 2 Thessalonians 2 says, now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself. This is amazing. Jesus himself. This is not just Jesus ordered everything perfectly and said, okay, go do your thing. I've got other stuff to worry about. This is not Jesus saying, okay, angels, quickly, I want you to go out and I want to give, you're going to be the guardian of so-and-so and you're going to be the guardian of so-and-so. And if I'm breaking your precious little thing right here, I'm sorry. But it's better than that. Jesus himself attends to you. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope. Those are yours, dear friend. Through what? This grace in which you stand. This grace in which you stand. May that, verse 17, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. Now, I turn to this passage partially because it's a wonderful description of what it means to stand in this grace. And also partly because it narrows down right in on the term grace and shows us the comfort that's ours, the good hope that's ours. But also, it goes on in verse 17 to say, comfort your hearts and establish them. That's an interesting word that brings us back to Romans 5. Romans 5. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Now, prepositional phrases are wonderful. They're full of theology. We've kind of flown through this. We have obtained access by faith. Prepositional phrase, you know what that means, right? Into this grace. We've just talked about grace. You know what it means to go into it, to be absolutely absorbed by this grace. You are inside of it. You're not outside of it. Let's put it that way. You're in this grace. In which, another prepositional phrase, we stand. We've been talking about the word stand a lot at Heritage lately. This has nothing to do with the other ways we've been talking about stand so far, okay? That's a glorious thing, I hope you will see. Because words have a variety of meanings. Biblical words have a variety of meanings. There are times in Scripture we may see a word and be like, ooh, I've studied that elsewhere. It means something great. Yes. You know what it also here means? Something great too. Okay? So if you can for a moment, let's leave aside what we see in Philippians, stand firm. What we see in Hebrews, standing in our confession of our hope and our faith. And let's talk about the word stand here. This is a bit of a strange term in this context. And hopefully a brief look at its meanings will be helpful. This is not the sort of military stance of getting ready to advance into something, although scriptural and wonderful elsewhere. This is something we may see, looking at this passage, more of almost a posture type thing. Sitting versus standing, right? There are some really meaningful passages of Scripture talking about posture and sitting versus standing. Study those out, especially about our Lord sometime, and see the many blessings there. Okay? It's not emphasizing that we are upright or we're out of our chairs in this context. The words used in Romans in two other places, and we'll turn there and see these. First of all, look at Romans chapter 10, just a few pages away from where we are in Romans 5. You'll actually see that the translation translates it just like it was translated in 2 Thessalonians. See, we saw the word, quote-unquote, stand in 2 Thessalonians passage that we just turned to, only it wasn't translated as stand. It's translated the same way it is here in Romans chapter 10, verse 3. For being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to stand on their own, literally. But we know it's not about posture at this point, so we use the word establish here, most of the translations. For being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own righteousness, they did not submit to God's righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness for everyone who believes. That passage will preach in and of itself. Maybe we should just finish out on that one there. It's an important passage. It's really important. But you see the way the same word used here in Romans 5 is used to talk about those who are seeking to establish their own righteousness. to stand on their own, as it were. Later in Romans chapter 14, in verse 3. Let not the one who eats despise the one who does not eat, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment upon the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls. Not stands or sits, but is established or falls and is judged. And he will be upheld. Get the upheld portion of this standing, this establishment. And he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. In other words, through Jesus, we have access by faith, gospel faith, into this grace in which we have been established, in which we stand. I want you to hear this well. The standing that you will have by gospel faith on the day of judgment is the standing that you have today, dear believer. If it's going to give you joy then, and it is, it ought to give you joy now. Believe me. When you are on that great day that we've read about, or in last week we looked at, about the amazing thing of knowing what it means to have peace with God on that day of judgment, when we are all before the throne of God, and he is going to render judgment upon each man for his works, and you realize, I am standing on this day by the righteousness of Christ. He has atoned for my sin. They've already been forgiven and paid for. And the wrath due unto me at this moment has already been propitiated by Jesus when he suffered upon the cross. You will have joy in that day. Believe me. And you ought to have joy now. Believe me. In fact, the rest of the verse is going to talk about that. We won't get there today. But we have this same standing, this life-changing standing before God. And I agree wholeheartedly with C.J. Mahaney's 5 principles of advice here. Memorize the gospel from God's word. When you find passages of scripture that speak to you of the gospel, memorize the gospel. Secondly, pray the gospel. This is what you need to do to avoid foxhole religion. And that's a really nice term for works-based. Pray the gospel. In every prayer, pray the gospel. Everything you ask of God should be gospel-centered. Every time you come before the throne of God, you recognize, what right do I have to be here? What can make me stand before God? You have access to this grace in which you stand now as you pray to the Lord Almighty. I love the next one. Sing the gospel. It's divinely meant to be done. Sing the gospel. Fourthly, review how the gospel has changed you. Sometimes that's tough. Sometimes you need to ask somebody else, hey, how's the gospel changed me? And brace yourself, because you might see some areas where gospel needs to keep changing you, but you will see the work of God. You will, dear believer. And then lastly, what we study the gospel. Once again, it's not just to get the ticket into heaven to those who haven't heard it before. It's not just the tool to get people into church. It's what we focus upon. So our passage says, through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Through him, dear believer, Jesus died for your sins. It's through him. Dear believer, the Son of God did this for you. It is through him. Last part of that hymn I've quoted last week and this week. I bless thee, Christ of God. I rest on love divine. And with unfaltering lip and heart, I call the Savior mine. Through him, dear friends, through him. Can it be said of you that with unfaltering lip and heart, I call the Savior mine? There's another hymn or poem. It's actually a Welsh poet, Anna Waring, of the 19th century. She wrote this. Safe in thy sanctifying grace, almighty to restore, borne onward, sin and death behind, and love and life before. Oh, let my soul abound in hope and praise thee more and more. Through the first advent of Christ, through his birth, his life, his crucifixion, through his resurrection and his enthronement, we have peace and we have been established in his grace. Let me read to you about the coming of Christ. In John chapter 1, turn there. We'll read verses 14 through 17 as we come to a close. In John 1 and in verse 14. And the Word of God became flesh. John 1, 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him. He cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." Let's pray, and then instead of singing the doxology, I want to dismiss you with the doxology from Jude and see how it ties in. Father in heaven, we bless the name of Jesus this day. Father, may our hearts exalt his name, and may our tongues exalt his name. Father, thank you for the grace in which we stand. Thank you for the peace that we have with you. Father, change us that our hearts will now be so focused and transformed by him that, Father, the world around us would see it. Father, that we would not be conformed to this world, but we would be living contrary to this world and glorifying Christ Jesus. Father, through him there is grace upon grace. Through him we have been established in this grace in which we stand now. Father, through him, because he himself has done this for us. He himself loves us with an everlasting love. He himself intercedes for us even now. Father, for any who have not repented of their sins and believed, may today be that day. We pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. And in Jesus' name, amen. Let me read to you before you start picking anything up. Jude 24 and 25. And I want you to hear there is a word here. And here it's going to be the word to present you. It also is the word to make to stand. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now and forevermore. Amen. You are dismissed.